May I take this time this morning to greet every one of you in the rich, beautiful, and loving name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm privileged this morning to be reading from the book of Genesis, chapter number 21, verses number 14. Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in her skin was gone, she put up the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat nearby, about a bow's shot away, for she thought, "I cannot watch the boy die." And as she sat there nearby, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of the Lord called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I'll make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. May the good Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. As I start, it is important to note that as Christians, we are always moved by the intervention of God. And I would want to speak upon the topic which says, God will intervene, or the Lord will intervene. Intervention is mostly expected by every Christian when things go wrong. And the intervention in the context of our topic here is God's involvement in our situation of need. Disaster struck Hagar in Genesis chapter number 16 when she derided or mocked Sarah because she was barren. And she was sent in the wilderness, and God intervened in a special way through an angel, and she was actually sent back to her mistress and Abraham. But she had lived a life in the desert. For your own information, the name Hagar means emigration or flight. In Genesis chapter number 21, another storm hit her when things appeared calm. In fact, Sarah ended up thinking that Isaac, in one way, Ishmael, in one way, was mocking Isaac. However, in both stories, I am moved or inspired by the view that God's intervention comes into the situation in that moment of crisis and in that moment of need. God intervenes in the life of Hagar. Before I take it on, it is important also to give an overview of the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis has been noted by most scholars as a book of beginnings, Bereshit or Bereshith in Hebrew, and it is thought to have been written by Moses. When we try to analyze it, the great introduction to the drama of redemption in Genesis chapter number 1, verses 11, may be regarded as the prologue to the drama, whose first act begins at chapter number 12 with the introduction of Abraham. At the other end of the drama, the book of Revelation is the epilogue. This is in the view of Wright and Thompson, 1988. It is also critical to note the theological implication of the theological value of the book of Genesis. And in the view of von Rad, Wolf, and Brueggemann, 1990, they actually observed that it cannot be emphasized too strongly that the primary value of Genesis, as indeed of all scripture, is theological. For example, when we look at the Noahian flood, the story of the flood, we discover that it speaks of sin, number one, judgment, redemption, and new life. But when a second note in the view of Brueggemann, Wolf, and von Rad, Yahweh is actually observed as the source and sustainer of life. And in another point, There is also the theological concept of the divine promises theme, which ran from chapter number 12 to chapter number 50. I'm interested in the second part of the theological value of the book of Genesis, that God, or Yahweh, I am who I am, and I am whom I shall be, is the source and sustainer of life. And in our topic of God as one who intervenes, or that God will intervene in our situation, I'm inspired in the view that in Genesis chapter number 16, when Hagar, which means emigration or flight, you know, had a conflict with Sarah on her barrenness, she's sent in the wilderness. And she experienced a difficult life there, but God intervened in with his angel and she was restored. It is upon that fact that I would want to say God watches you and me, or he watches us wandering in the wilderness. Hagar was wandering in the wilderness. But there's something that we want to see. The word wandering, which is employed here in the Bible, is derived from the verb, the Hebrew verb tar, which means moving without hope. Or it has reference in its root meaning to stray animals that are just wandering or just moving without sense of direction. Hagar has been cast out. This is our point. Hagar has been derided upon. She is now a social outcast. She is ostracized and marginalized because of events. And she's living a life of wandering in the wilderness. I would want you to imagine that when you are living in the desert, the temperatures are so harsh. There is no easy access to food. Neither is there any easy access to water. This is the situation that Hagar is living. She has a child, and the situation is very tough. It is very tense. But I would want to say God is watching upon the scene. And as God watches us in our darkest hour, as God watches us in our moments of trouble, he is ready to intervene. God is willing at this moment to intervene in the life of Sarah, as he's also willing, to intervene in the life of Hagar. I would want us to think that Hagar is exposed to several attacks. The Lord God has intervened in the life of Sarah that she has had a son. And the Lord God is also intervening in the life of Hagar. I would want us to think that there's someone special who's watching upon our situation when things get hard. When we are in our darkest hour of need, God is watching over us. Hallelujah. And God does not simply watch over us and does nothing. God is busy planning. He's weaving out a plan to take Hagar to another platform, to take you and me to another platform. There are moments when life gets extreme. Right now, as I speak, when I look outside, we are expecting a serious drought in Zimbabwe. There's a looming drought. The El Nino heat wave has hit the southern region of Africa, and there's no hope. The temperatures that we're experiencing are desert temperatures. There's no hope of a harvest. As I look outside, crops have turned khaki from green, which means we expect no harvest, but God is watching upon the scene. We need to raise our voices in prayer in our darkest hour of need, realizing that we've got a God who intervenes. We've got a God who gets involved in our situation of need. We've got a God who gets involved in our moment of crisis. And we should raise our voices of trust, our voices of faith in prayer, because God is going to intervene. He will be involved in a situation of need. He's going to be involved in your darkest hour. I'm interested in the view that the crisis reaches its peak in verse number 16. And Hagar utters a prayer This is, according to Brueggemann, the first prayer that we hear in the Bible. Do not let me see the child die. She's now desperate. The situation has no hope, but she raises her voice in prayer as she says to God, "Do not let me see the boy die." And God hears that particular prayer. And in our second note, we are going to be looking at, as we look at God watching over our sin, weaving a plan of intervention in our moment of crisis. God, in number two, he is also a God who stretches his hand in our moment of need or in our moment of trouble. Apart from watching on what is going on in around us, according to Hagen, chapter number 16 of Genesis, she says, God is the God who sees. Hallelujah. God is watching you. He's getting through your situation to understand your moment of need. But on the second net, God gets involved by stretching his hand of healing to address the situation. According to the angel's message, it would be important to reread what the Bible says. The angel says, God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying." It is then that we should raise our voices of faith as we cry to God in our moment of need, and God's hand will get involved in our situation. God is in control when we look at this particular verse. God is in control. God is active when we are sobbing. Remember, she is crying. Hot, stinging tears of agony are flowing down her cheeks. As you at one moment were crying, you might be living in on a bed of roses right now, but you don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what the next day holds for you. Maybe disaster is going to strike and you are going to be living a life of wandering in the wilderness. A life of flight is according to the meaning of Hagar's name. But the Lord God has stretched his hand to heal you. The Lord God is in control of the situation, and the Lord God is active. I'm happy that God reassures here that do not be afraid. I have heard the voice of the child. This reminds me of the situation in Exodus chapter number 14, when the Israelites in their escape from Egypt had reached the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army was following behind them. They were trapped in between, but God intervened in a special way, and they walked on dry ground as the waters of the sea were parted. Moses raised his voice in prayer to God. Moses, in fact, raised, his faith to God. And God intervened in a special way. It is then important that when we reach a moment of crisis, when we reach a moment of difficulty, we need to remember that we have a God. We have a God who intervenes. We have a God who gets involved in our lives. It is critical as well, as we move on, that when we look at God, he's a God who gets involved when things get tough. I remember in Numbers chapter number 20, when the children of Israel with Moses had reached the wilderness of Zin. There was no water, and they opposed Moses. They went into conflict with Moses. I remember the Lord speaking to Moses that he should speak to the rock. Although he went the other way, but then it is important that the water came out from a rock. We need to speak to the rock. We need to speak to God, to our Jesus, when the times are hard. And the Lord God, because he is a God who is faithful, he will intervene in your situation. He will intervene to raise you. This reminds me of that woman in Luke chapter number 13, verse number 10 up to 17. She had a bent over spirit, and she was in that desperate moment. She was socially marginalized. She was an outcast. She was derided by her society. But Jesus called her to him and she was healed, which means she was restored economically, she was restored spiritually, she was restored religiously, she was restored in health. God gets intervened. God, you know, intervenes in our situation. God will be will actually be a God who comes in our moment of crisis. He is the Lord God who intervenes. The third point that I would want to close with is a point that reads as follows. God is a God who provides a blessing in our moment of need. And he also meets the need. He is not only concerned about Ishmael's future in verse number 18b, but also his present situation. God provides the water. Ishmael needs the water to drink, and God provides that. Right now, as I was highlighting, Zimbabwe is going through a very difficult moment. Goods are rising every day, particularly basic commodities. There's been tax aided on basic commodities like sugar and rice and millennium. And life has become difficult. Tax has become a load to workers. And we are going through a moment in which life has become extremely difficult. But God will intervene. The Lord God is a God who intervenes. This reminds me of the servant of Elijah, or Elisha, in chapter number 6 of the book of 2 Kings, verse 15. You know, the Arameans had surrounded them with their chariots. And the servant of the prophet of the man of God says, "See, alas, my master, we are surrounded by this great army." But the Lord God opened the eyes of the servant of the prophet, and he was able to see. He was able to see the chariots of fire that were surrounding them, which means God was protecting them in a special way. God is going to protect you. God is going to protect me. He will protect us in our hour of need and provides the blessing. When you look at what the Bible says in this particular last point of our discussion, God provides the blessing in his intervention and also addresses the need. Ishmael is told that he is going to grow into a mighty nation. Hagar received these words from the angel of the Lord. And God also provides the water. I'm interested in what the Bible says. Hagar apparently was not able to spot the well of water. But it is upon the opening of her eyes that she saw the source of water. Hallelujah. And it is important as we look at what we are saying that the Lord God will intervene in your time of need. And he will provide what is needed. And he will also provide a blessing. This is when we raise our voices in prayer, when we cry to the Lord, when we allow God to come into our situation through his plan of intervention, things will change. He will open our eyes and we'll see the opportunities in life of business, the opportunities for growth, the opportunities for transformation, the opportunities for expansion, the opportunities to grow, and the sky will be the limit because the Lord God would have intervened. He is a mighty God who intervenes. I remember his name is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God who provides. And can we raise our voices in prayer at the moment? I know your situation might be difficult. I know what you are going through might be very tough. I know what you are going through might be leading you to cry, might be leading you to shed tears of bitterness. You might be in a bitter moment at the moment of the day, but God is calling you to prayer so that you might see the mighty hand of God stretched upon your life. You might see the mighty hand of God working out his plan in your life. And then you raise your voice in prayer and say, "Thank you, my Lord. Thank you, my Jesus. Thank you, the mighty God. I know you are unique.
You are the same God who parted the waters of the Red Sea. You are the same God who provided water from a rock. You are the same God who saved the life of Hagar. You are the same God who blessed Abraham. You are the same God who blessed Isaac. You are the same God who blessed Jacob. And I realize in my point of trust that my mighty God is going to intervene. He will get involved in my situation of need. And upon saying these words, can we have a moment of trust in God and share with him our problems? For he is a God who gets involved. In Jesus' mighty name, may the living Lord bless you and guide you in your life. Amen.